Everybody tonight, it's good to be in the Lord's house. I appreciate His allowing us to be here, and pretty day He's given us. Wasn't it a beautiful day? But I'll be honest with you, I had a bit of the cold. I don't know, I guess my opinion don't matter, but I'm ready for some warm weather. But I'm interested tonight in the book of Exodus, chapter number 27. You would. Let's look in Exodus chapter 27. Appreciate the good songs and the two prayers tonight. I love to hear those two men pray. You can tell when somebody's not rehearsed a prayer. You can tell when it's something that's been squoze out of their heart. Amen. And I appreciate that. Exodus chapter 27. Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you for your grace. We thank you, Jesus, for your mercy, for Calvary, the blood of the Lamb. Lord, we come to you tonight feeble and weak. Lord, we don't have much. Lord, we got our salvation. We got our calling. That's about all we got. Lord, I pray tonight, God, that you'd take these five barley loaves and these two fishes, God, and multiply it. God, I pray tonight, God, that you'd open our hearts and our ears and speak to us. And give us preaching grace. And help us, Lord, to understand your word, God. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All righty. Exodus 27 in verse number 20. I'm going to read one verse, and I want you to just listen to what it says to you. Let it speak to your heart. And I want us to think about maybe the context of what this is. Moses is getting instruction here for the tabernacle in the wilderness. And this tabernacle is some 150 feet long, 45 wide. It's got a little building in the midst, the tent, about 45 feet, 15 feet, 15 foot tall, two rooms. And in this very first part is where all the priests would serve, where we'd find the candlestick, which I want to preach on. And this candlestick in this little room here is what these priests would serve, the table of shewbread. They would do all their ministering in here, and they would do it by this light. And God give Moses instruction about this light. And you can look back a couple of chapters. I believe it's chapter 25. And you can see the detailed work of this lampstand. But here, as we look at all these details in this tabernacle, I wish I had about 10 weeks to preach on the tabernacle and show you all these wonderful details and pictures of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For it is a shadow of Him. But I want us to think about how that God told Moses to tell the people to bring all the materials for this tabernacle. And he was to have the different trades to build this tabernacle. But here, another thing, this candlestick is built, but in order for it to burn, in order for it to give off light, it has to have something. It has to have something for it in order. That candlestick was beautiful. It had a center post. It had six protruding wings out each side, six arms out each side, and each one, there were seven different knots on top that had a bowl that held the oil. And it was beautiful, beaten of pure gold. But in itself, without any oil in it, it was nothing but a piece of furniture. And I want us to keep that in mind. And let's let verse number 20 speak to our hearts. As the Bible says this, and thou shalt command the children of Israel, that they bring thee pure oil olive beaten for the light. And here's where I want to preach from tonight, to cause the lamp to burn always. I got to thinking about this. This is not talking about burn from 8 o'clock in the morning till 5 or from 7 to 7. But it's talking about burning always. And I was thinking about this scripture here as Brother Ken was preaching on Samuel. And I've been enjoying them double name messages. And I got to thinking about there as Eli was in the house and Brother Ken read that and it said, ere the lamp of God went out, before the lamp of God went out. And I got to thinking, what if that lamp went out? And as I look across the United States and I look across people today, and I think about some churches. I know of two churches that's totally shut the doors in the last year. They've totally closed their doors. The lamp's gone out in that community. And I wonder tonight, God forbid, but I wonder if the lamp totally went out here at Liberty Baptist Church, what kind of an effect it would have here on this community. Listen, it would have an effect definitely on your life and my life and our family's life, but it would absolutely have an effect on this community. And I want to preach or teach or however it comes out tonight on don't let the oil run dry. Don't let the oil run dry. And I got to thinking tonight about the petition for the oil. No, God. And I look across the land today, the United States, and I'm very patriotic. I'm glad that I'm a citizen of the United States of America. I'm proud. And if it required that I'd join up, feeble, I'd join up and I'd fight and I'd bleed and die for my country. I'm glad I'm an American. And I look across the land today and I see people and I see them sort of disoriented and distracted, and I see people that seems like they're in another world and they're searching for something. I understand it takes all kinds of things to control America's mind. And we look here in America today and people are craving something. And I believe with all of my heart, they're petitioning, they're crying out. There's a public cry for the oil. And they don't know what they need. This world on the outside, they don't understand what you and I have. They don't understand the presence of a thrice holy God. They don't understand what God can do. They don't feel that out there until you get saved. You don't know what God can do. And this world, as it craves the drugs of this world and the different mind-altering things that this world has to offer, and I say this, what it's really craving is some light. It's craving some light. I see a public cry, but I see a personal cry. Let me ask you this tonight. Boy, I can remember. And I know we can't live off old bread, but I can remember some times in this place. I can remember that storefront. How many has been here since the storefront? Raise your hand. How many? About a third probably, looks like. Ain't that something? And I can remember some times, I wish Brother Jerry was here. I can remember when he got saved. And I can remember them, that oil just literally just squeezing out and flowing all in there. And I'm telling you, it's just like you can feel it. I'm talking about hot oil that run down and you can feel it all over you. I'm talking about something that would change your week. You could go through and face hell all week long and listen, fall, and come to God's house and listen. It'd be something miraculous because, honey, you'd be ready to storm hell with a water pistol come Monday morning. You might get knocked down again Tuesday morning, but, honey, when you got to come back Wednesday, everything was hot and on fire again. Can anybody remember that? You know, let me tell you something tonight, and I don't know a whole lot, but I'm going to tell you what you need, is you need a good dose of the Holy Ghost. You need a good dose of the oil. That's what you're crying. That's what you're craving. You can go out and buy you a new toy, a new truck, a new car, a four-wheeler, a new purse, or a new piece of furniture. You can go do this and go to the mountains and go to the lake. You can go to the whatever and do this and that. And it may give you a smile for a little bit. But what you're really missing and what you're craving is the dose of the Holy Ghost. Listen to me, I'm trying to get somewhere. The petition for the oil. There's a cry. There's a cry of going out. But I notice also, in order to get this oil, there's a process. There's a process. I'm going to tell you something. I don't like the process. But there's only one way to get it. The oil ain't the same going down here at Piggly Wiggly and buying it. It ain't the same as store-bought oil. Whew. Real oil. I've been in church where there was some store-bought oil. Know what I'm talking about? I've been in church to where they hired a group to come in, and ain't nothing wrong with groups. I love groups. I love people to come in and sing or no sing. I love to hear people give their testimony, whatever. But I'm going to tell you the best oil is when a group of people that's formed a church, a family, a church family comes together and they blend their hearts together and they've been bleeding all week and hurting all week and they get in there and the oil just oozes out everywhere. That's the best kind of oil. Notice with me, in this process here, there's a choosing. There's a choosing. I want to say this tonight. If you want to produce some oil so the oil won't run dry, if you want to produce some oil tonight, I'm really not preaching, I don't guess, to everybody. If you want to produce some oil tonight, it's going to cost you some things. But I'm telling you, it's worth it. And it'll fix your life. It'll fix your family. It'll fix your situation if you just get a oil in your life. You see, the devil will lie to you and fool you and say, it's not worth it. He'll scare you to death. He's had me scared to death before. And I'm telling you, he'll lie to you and say, it just ain't worth it. But I'm here to report to you tonight, it's worth every mile. It's worth everything that you put up with in order to have the oil of the Holy Ghost. The choosing. Now watch this. Matthew chapter 17. When Jesus was about to transfigure Himself and show His glorified self to His disciples, He said, hey Peter, James, John, y'all come apart from the mother nine and go with me. I love preaching to the Wednesday night crowd. You see, there's a lot of things that you miss if you don't come when the small crowd is here. I believe it's Matthew 26 when the Lord went to the Garden of Gethsemane under the olive trees, by the way. He took everybody. He took all 12 of them right here and he parked it right there. But then He said, hey, Peter, James, John, come here. And they went a little further. In His darkest hours, there's a choosing. Listen, I'm preaching to somebody. Some of you is looking at me like a calf at a new gate, but I know the Holy Ghost and He's talking to somebody's heart. He's saying, He's preaching to you. You need to be producing oil. Hey, some of y'all need to be producing oil in here, and you know it. It's been a long time since there's been some oil run out of you. It's been a long time, but it has happened before. And listen, you know that you need to be producing oil in Liberty Baptist Church. The choosing. And listen to me, in this process, there's a crushing. There's a crushing. There's a crushing. Let me tell you about these olives, the way they work. These old olives. I've been the first time ever, anybody ever seen any fresh olives in Publix, in any fancy, anybody ever seen any fresh ones? I can go ahead and tell you, no, you haven't. You know why? I'll tell you why. Because they ain't fit to eat. Now, I love a jar of olives. I love them. I sit there with a fork and eat them out of it. But a fresh olive off the tree. Went to Israel first time, and I thought, wow, that's olive. Went up there, got one, throwed that thing in my mouth, and I was dumb enough not to realize it had a pit in it. Chomped down on that thing like it broke my tooth. Anybody ever had a persimmon? Ain't they good? Multiply persimmon. Times about 50, and you got an olive. They've got a chemical in them that has to be broken down. Listen, during the crushing process, they're very, very bitter. So that olive has got to go through a crushing stage before it's worth anything. It ain't fit for nothing on that tree. I'm talking about it ain't good for nothing. Notice that olive is bitter and it's hard. It's got a pit. And I don't want to get off on that olive. But that ain't that about like me and you? If me and you ain't put God put us through, God created us for His honor and for His glory. He didn't create me. It took me a while. But listen, I learned that God did not create me so that I could have the American dream and so that I could live this up. God created me for His honor and for His glory. And if God decides to crush, He's going to crush. Try to defy Him and tell Him I don't want it. Listen, I've tried that. It don't go too good. That olive's hard. It's about like a crab apple, about that same, about hard. And then you bite into it, and it's bitter. And in the inside, it's got an old pit. And you know what? It's hard. It's like a rock in it. You know what? Our old stony heart. We may look good. See, that old olive fooled me when I looked at it on that tree. Boy, it looks so good. I thought I done had me a jar of olives dashed on the tree and I was going to eat me a bellyful. And you know what? Me and you are fooled this world. We may look good on the outside, but I promise you one thing. Down on the inside is an all wicked, despiteful heart. I don't care how good you think you are. Don't listen to me. Your heart is desperately wicked. There's a crushing. I'm going to use this one, Brother Ken preached on. Over there in Luke. Simon said, I'm ready. Listen, Lord, I'm ready to go eat a death. I'm ready to do anything. And then the Lord turned to him and said, Simon, Simon, Satan's desired to have you that he might sift you as wheat. Anybody ever run a sifter? You know what that does? It gets all the bad out. Lets the fine go through and the junk stay up top. Why didn't the Lord say, you ain't getting him. I'm finna go to the cross and I need everybody I can get. You know what he said? All right. is yours. Wow. But Simon, I pray for you that you're what? That you would not cuss by the fire. He didn't say that. I prayed for you that you wouldn't deny me. That's not what he said. But he said, I prayed for you that your faith in me would fail not. I'm talking about a crushing in such a way that it'll gut you from one end to the other and take everything that you have except your faith away. Choosing a crushing, the process and product, that old olive and that oil. That oil, you know, oil is the primary use for the olive. Not to put on salads. Not to eat. But the primary use of oil is, we've been to Albania several times, and we'd go over there and we'd see on the side of the streets, you'd see these old 1 liter plastic bottles and various jugs on the side of the road, and they'd be selling them. I got to looking at that and I thought, is that honey in them things? We stopped and it wasn't honey. We found out it was fuel oil. And there's olive trees everywhere over there. And them olive trees grow, and they take them olives and crush them and make that oil, and it's used to heat their home. Some even have lanterns still, but in order to get that oil, you know what that old farmer's got to do? If it's an old process, he's got to pick those olives. And there's a lot to be said. He's got to pick them olives and put them in a basket. Boy, it takes a bunch of them to get just a little bit of oil. But he gets so many of them olives, and he'll put them in this crush, stone crush. Little round thing, you've seen it, you can Google it, whatever. Yeah, and he'd put these olives in there, it'd be a big stone wheel, and they'd be a beast, a burden that would hook to the arm of that thing, and he'd pull that wheel around and around this 2,000 pound stone, and he'd crush all them olives and run him around and around and around until he had a slurry. You know what God's got to do to you? Now fill in the blanks with your name. He's got to say, Peter, James, and John, come with me. You know what He's got to say to you? He's got to say, hey, whatever your name is, you come with me. I want to put you in the crush. You say, Lord, that's not the way I've been taught in America. Puts them in this thing, and this donkey or mule or whatever push this arm around, that wheel of crush and crush and bust seeds up and everything. By the way, as he's pulling them olives off a tree, it don't matter if it's a beautiful green olive or if it's one that's got a bad spot in it. It don't matter if it's a blemished one. I'm here to say tonight, listen to me, it don't matter how pretty you are or how you know your 66 books of the Bible or if you're young and green or if you've got a blemish in your life, God can use you and God can take you and produce oil in your life and bless others and help them. But they take them olives and put them in there and crush. And then they take these baskets, sort of like burlap sacks, and they'd put probably about a half a gallon to these little baskets here. And they'd stack these little baskets, about 40 of them up to about right there. And they had old crank press. And that press would put several hundred pounds of pressure on that. And that oil would ooze out the side of those burlap baskets. And it'd run down. They'd collect it and put it in jars, bottles. You want something that'll satisfy you? Listen to me. I'm about done. Please listen. You know what's missing? It ain't the coronavirus. Listen, I don't want that. I'm not saying that. But here's what I'm saying. That's not what the problem is. We're a nation that's forgotten God. And if we ain't careful, the worst thing that ever happened to America is God turned His back on us. Now, if you listen to me, God's going to take care of me. I'm His child. But He ain't got no promise nowhere in that book that He's got to take care of us as a nation. Matter of fact, if we turn our back on Him, He can turn His on us. You know, you want something that'll satisfy you? Let me ask you this. You that have experienced what used to be. I've heard that a lot. You that have felt the power. I remember one night, Brother Dana Williams was preaching a revival in here. And I bet you there's some folks who remember it. I think a Lindsay voice was up there singing. And it felt like, and I ain't lying to you, it felt like a wave come across this building. And I believe they started shouting up here on stage. And it hit this first set of pews. And it blew back through there. And I'm telling you, the hair would stand up on the back of your neck. Anybody remember that night? I remember it good night in the morning. That satisfies. That's when you can leave this place and go out and say, but you know what? It takes. Are you willing to pay it? Or do you want to see your children never experience what you have experienced? Listen to me. Somebody paid the price that you could experience it. You hear me? Are you willing to pay the price so that your children can experience it? We're getting to the end of this thing. And I'm not making light of this. My daddy, Brother Ken's not young men. I'm pushing 50. And as Brother Ken said before, there's not many preachers being called nowadays. I don't care where you at. Nowhere. This thing is fizzling out if we don't get to praying and seeking God. Let me ask you, when's the last time you really prayed? You ain't got to pray for a crushing. You ain't got to pray for a pressing. God will handle that. And God, you put your faith in Him. He is merciful and He is gracious. He will take care of you in the press. I promise you. I ain't telling you to go jump off a cliff. I'm asking you tonight that you'd go to God and say, Lord, I want to feel Your power again. You know what it's going to take? It's going to take this church to get together. Together and say together, God, we want You. And I'll promise you, if He does, I'll close my Bible. I promise you, He will not deny us. It wouldn't surprise me one single bit if we would pray just the rest of the week if God didn't come in here and blow the doors off this place. I'm telling you, that's exactly 110% the way I believe. I believe if we would collectively get a hold of God and say, God, I'm hungry as the heart panteth after the watery brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Oh God, send the rain. He would do it. Let my children experience the glory. Let my family, my people experience the Lord, the glory that I've experienced. Lastly, the potential of this oil. Potential of it. What's the potential? I'll tell you what's one thing is the light. We need light. You can't do nothing in the dark. You can't work. You can't serve. You've got to have light. We couldn't even have church tonight if it wasn't for the light. Got to have it. You want to know why everything is going haywire nowadays? You want to know why your mind travels to places it shouldn't go? You want to know why your kid's mind travels to places and America's doing things she shouldn't be doing tonight? It's because it's dark outside and they cannot see where they're going. Potential of this oil is for. Tell them you can light things up. But it'll heal some things. You know, they used to take a bottle of oil and they'd, according to James, and anoint you and pray over you. But I believe there's a symbolic meaning of that. There's some deep wounds. Can we have an altar call, Brother Ken? Miss Sherry, would you play? I believe with all my heart there's some deep wounds that have never been treated correctly. I don't know what it is in your past that's still hurting. I don't know what it is that's eating at you. But let me tell you tonight, there's some oil. There's a balm. I wonder tonight if there'd be somebody that would be willing to come to this old altar and say, Lord, I sure need you. I've tried everything this world has to offer, and it just don't satisfy. Lord, would you help me tonight? Lord, would you touch me tonight? Lord!